Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jennifer Norris, who's a former US Air Force tech sergeant who was forced into early retirement because of post-traumatic stress disorder from military sexual trauma. She currently volunteers at the Military Rape Crisis Center, helping both active duty and veterans victims of sexual violence. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jennifer Norris.
Thank you very much.
And today, Brigadier General Jeffrey Sinclair, the Deputy Commanding General of the 82nd Airborne Division at its forward base in Afghanistan, has been charged with forcible sodomy, multiple counts of adultery, and having inappropriate relationships with female subordinates while serving in Afghanistan. This is pretty unusual, isn't it? Somebody of that rank being charged with that many serious crimes?
Yes, it is. One of the biggest reasons that this has become as big a deal as it has is because he was in Afghanistan. And in Afghanistan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq, General Order 1 is issued, which prohibits use of alcohol, pornography, and sex of any kind due to the cultural issues and out of respect for that culture. So breaking General Order 1 as a brigadier general is a pretty big deal.
So we don't know much more than the fact that he's just been charged. Do you have any further information about where is he at the moment? Do we know?
From what I understand, he's back in the States.
At Fort Bragg?
Yes.
At Fort Bragg, which is the headquarters of the 82nd Airborne.
Yes. And from what I understand in doing a little bit of research on the subject today is that there's additional charges, including fraudulent use of a government credit card, adultery, forced sex, sodomy, use of alcohol. All of these things are big no-nos in the military, but especially because of General Order 1 in Afghanistan with the prohibition of alcohol and anything that has to do with pornography or sex.
So
that's really upped it.
So what's your understanding then, Jennifer Norris, of having been a victim of sexual assault in the military and being forced into early retirement because of post-traumatic stress disorder from these unwanted sexual attacks? And you're currently volunteering at the Military Rape Crisis Center. So you must have an idea of how pervasive this is. I spoke with a Navy captain a while back who was a victim of the Tailhook scandal, and there was also a very, very powerful film that came out fairly recently that indicated this problem is vast. I mean, there are, I think, hundreds of thousands of women in the military have been assaulted.
Yes, sir, unfortunately. The DOD's own estimates are at least 19,000 sexual assault, rape, sexual harassment cases a year, but they only had about 3,200 that report, and the majority of them are not reporting for fear of retaliation. So part of my job at the Military Rape Crisis Center is to at least provide an outlet for someone who's active duty that's been through a trauma, like sexual assault or rape, so they at least have someone to talk to and a way to get help without having to necessarily report it, but take care of themselves at the same time. If I had it to do over again, I don't even know if I would have reported, because I did end up reporting all four of my assaults, four different perpetrators within the first 2 years of my career. And unfortunately, I too got retaliated against. I don't know if it's because people didn't know the whole story or what, but I ended up being retaliated against in many different ways by my chain of command. They knew him, or at least one of the perpetrators, a lot longer than they had known me. So in a lot of cases, there's a lot of conflict of interest with dealing with reporting the crime to someone in your chain of command, because the bias is that they've known that person, that perpetrator, a lot longer than they've known you. And that's what's hurting the justice process.
And how far up the chain of command did your complaints go?
Well, it went all the, mine went all the way to the National Guard Bureau, because once you someone reports a crime within your unit, it goes all the way up the chain of command. And basically, my squadron would have to answer to not only the wing, but also National Guard with reporting. And one of the downfalls with my case, and it, I didn't pick up on it then because I was just wanted it over, was that it, the charges got knocked down from sexual assault to sexual harassment. And so they got reported as sexual harassment when they were in fact sexual assault.
And you said there were four separate airmen involved in the sexual assaults on you?
Yes, and they were airmen, but they were also non-commissioned officers. They were my superiors. So they had a lot more rank than I did and a lot more time in service. All of them had over 15 years of service.
And were there any of them officers? They're all NCOs?
These were all NCOs, yes.
And essentially, they blamed the victim?
Yes, basically. You know, they know everyone. They've known everyone a lot longer than I did, so they can easily just spread the rumor mill that, you know, I'm this or I'm that, whatever it is that they decide they're going to say about me to turn people against me, and the next thing you know, I'm having to leave the squadron because I just can't get anywhere. Because they are just looking for things to give me a hard time about, you know, trying to get me in trouble for things that were pretty much just made up. It just never ended. I couldn't get training on the equipment that I needed to get promoted. They were holding me back from that. So they were basically just trying to isolate me until I gave up. And this is the kind of mentality, this barbaric mentality that's causing people to get pushed to the point of suicide. You get treated so badly during the trauma, but then you're re-traumatized afterwards by a culture that it just makes you wonder if something is wrong with you, because everyone's coming down on you for a crime that was committed by a predator.
Again, I'm speaking with Jennifer Norris, a former U.S. Air Force tech sergeant. She was forced into early retirement because of post-traumatic stress disorder from military sexual trauma. She currently volunteers at the Military Rape Crisis Center, helping both active duty and veteran victims of sexual violence. So it would seem to me, though, Jennifer, that having a general officer charged with these serious crimes, it's got to change the environment. You just told us how you were twice victimized by the four sexual predators who assaulted you, and then on top of that, by the concerted and orchestrated cover-ups that they were all involved in that punished you again and ruined your career.
Yeah.
So obviously with a general essentially in the dock here, this has got to get some more attention. I know from that film that I mentioned, The Invisible War, a lot of women in Congress and in the Senate have weighed in, but it sounds like, you know, this has been so glacial in trying to get some action from the military. This has gone on for a long time. You know, Paula Coughlin told me after Tailhook, she actually met with the President of the United States in the Oval Office and brought him to tears, but nothing happened.
Yep. You know, I work with her now. And it's amazing to hear that she went through what we're going through to this day, and it's only escalated. Because if you let a predator go, they're going to keep re-victimizing over and over and over because they know they can get away with it. So that's why we're seeing the increase in numbers. And the more people that do come forward, because the crimes are escalating, there's more violence involved. So it's... Whereas before you might have been, you know, raped but not necessarily beaten, now you're going to get raped and beaten because you better shut your mouth because the stakes have been raised.
Well, just in closing, Jennifer Norris, do you feel, and obviously it's early days yet with the charges just being brought today against Brigadier General Jeffrey Sinclair, the Deputy Commanding General of the 82nd Airborne Division, in Afghanistan, what do you think is likely to happen here in terms of helping you and other women who are victims of sexual abuse in the military?
Well, I think what's particular with this case is that if a brigadier general is doing this within the Army, and he's in charge of all the people that he's in charge of. Imagine the culture that that one person has created within that, you know, battalion or squadron or whatever it is that, that he runs. They say that where sexual harassment is tolerated, you're more likely to see rapes occur. So part of the prevention piece is if sexual harassment is eliminated, it's going to help eliminate the culture of thinking that harassment, assault, and rape are okay. And in, with this guy in charge, and in Afghanistan, it's a very small military community. So I'm sure that his troops were aware of what he was doing, and I'm sure that that affects morale as well. So this guy's going to be used as an example, most likely, because of his rank and because of the egregiousness of the charges that, you know, he's being pressed against him right now.
Well, Jennifer Norris, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you, too.
Again, I've been speaking with Jennifer Norris, who's a former U.S. Air Force tech sergeant who was forced into early retirement because of post-traumatic stress disorder from military sexual trauma. She currently volunteers at the Military Rape Crisis Center, helping both active duty and veteran victims of sexual violence. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about President Obama's speech against human trafficking with a victim of sexual trafficking. Well, just in closing, Jennifer Norris, you mentioned suicide, that because of the lack of accountability and the lack of any comfort zone, if you will, for victims of sexual abuse inside the military, that some women are driven to suicide. What's your understanding about how pervasive that is and how desperate the situation is that that people would resort to killing themselves because they couldn't get anybody to take them seriously?
Well, what we're seeing is that right now it's the highest it's ever been. We have at least one active duty member per day that's committing suicide, and this is active duty. We're not even including the veterans. But all levels of suicide are at the highest they've ever been. And then what we're seeing is that when there are issues, whether it be, you know, someone that's got combat PTSD or someone that's got PTSD from military sexual trauma, is that they're not being dealt with while they're in the military. They're basically being tossed out with no aftercare. And then the VA is left to pick up the pieces. And because there's so many people heading to the VA, they're overwhelmed. So if people, if the military could take care of their people before they let them go, it would really help all of society. Because while that veteran is not getting into the VA because they're so backed up, they're by themselves and isolated and not necessarily realizing that they have PTSD, that it's normal, that, you know, if they just go and get some help for it, they'll see they're not alone and that they're not, you know, quote-unquote crazy.
Washed me ashore, and it took my